Welcome to Go Simcha, the podcast that takes you on an in-depth approach to the Jewish music, entertainment, and Simcha world. Now, here's your host, Zisha Littman. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Go Simple the Podcast. We had so much fun recording the episode, but it couldn't have been done without the help of our sponsor, Karen Simchas Chasson Vekalis. We're going to take a minute to hear a little bit more about them. The following episode of Go Simcha the Podcast is proudly sponsored by Karen Simchas Chasson Vekala. Karen Simchas Chasson Vekala was founded over 25 years ago and is based in Brooklyn, New York. KSCVK helps widows, orphans, and people who are in dire need of marrying off a child. Working through their network of vendors, KSCVK ensures that every wedding is just as special as the next. Run by world-renowned party planner Devorah Benjamin, KSCVK takes care that each wedding is as elegant as the next one, ensuring dignity and class through every wedding that they put on. To donate to KSCVK, please visit their website, kscvk.org, today. That's kscvk.org, and help make someone's wedding special. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another awesome episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. Last week's episode with Shlomi Gertner was so much fun. I had a lot of fun recording it. Shlomi had a lot of fun being on the show. This week's episode, we have another special guest. I actually became a big fan of his recently. One of his songs has just been constantly stuck in my head, and I'm really upset this 3 weeks, and I can't listen to it and watch the video. It's really bothering me. But this guy is an awesome guy, awesome singer, and I'm honored and privileged to have him on the show. Please welcome Shmili Unger. Shmili, how are you? Welcome to Go Simcha.
Hi, how are you with all the listeners for Go Simcha? Baruch Hashem, we're doing fine. How are you, Zisha?
Baruch Hashem, Kanainahar. Another wonderful day over here in Eretz Yisrael. Can't complain. A little bit hot, but, you know, that's why the Eibishter made air conditioning.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
Baruch Hashem. So, Shmili, tell us a little bit. Who is Shmili Unger? You're new on the scene. You're relatively new on the scene, but... Or not so relatively new. So tell us, what's your deal? What's your story? Who are you? Who is Shmili Unger?
All right. Who is Shmili Unger, for those wanting to know who I am? I am a guy who grew up in upstate New York, in Monroe, New York, Kiryas Yoel.
Ah.
I went to the Safa High League, right? High League, very high league.
Very.
And I grew up there. My father... he wasn't from Monroe. He was from Bar Park. He was a Bob of a Bucher in Yeshiva.
Ah,
and he married my... Right. He married my mother. And she was from Australia. And they moved to Kiryas Yoel. They moved to Monroe for various reasons, whatever. My grandfather, we had a house there. And that's where we lived. So I grew up in Kiryas Yoel.
That's so funny. So you're part Australian, eh?
I guess so, yes. I guess I'm part, but my great-grandparents from Australia, they were from Romania.
Ah.
So, we go way back, I guess, to the Mauritian. But, yes, I'm part Australian.
You ever been to Australia? You ever been over there?
I have not. No, I have not been there.
We're not making any Shmili Unger shows in Australia?
Not that I know of, not that I'm aware of as of now, no.
All right, fair enough. So
yeah, but there's a lot of fans there. I know there's a lot of Australian fans. I've seen them on weddings. They tell me they're from there. And also, you know, in this day and age, people, you don't have to live next door to know exactly how it looks like. There's social media and there's all kinds of videos. So even in Australia, it reaches the audience and we sell over their CDs and there's a lot of fans. And so there's a shout out for the Australian guys. Any of you listening to Go Simcha.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, Go Simcha in Australia. We got some Australian fans, sure. So the real question is, what got you into music? Because you're ridiculously talented, and I love listening to your songs. They really put me in a good mood. They wholeheartedly put me in a good mood, and they just make me want to get out of my chair and dance. What got you into music?
What got me into music? My mother, I guess. It was my mother. She could sing when she grew up in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
She could sing.
Hmm.
And yes, she was there as well, like a soloist. My father couldn't sing. My father couldn't. I used to be embarrassed of his singing. I wouldn't say anything, but he would embarrass me. I guess kids are always embarrassed by their parents to some degree, right? Everybody, either shame, like my tata, my mama. But yeah. he couldn't sing, but at least got to sing. So, you know, it's a good sound. But my mother was the one who I get it from. And I started singing, and I don't know how it became. And yeshiva, when I grew up, I was singing in the choir, Baraban, the Satmar Rebbe.
Oh, wow.
It was Satmaruf then, because the Baruch Moshe, his father, was still alive. So when I grew up, it was always, Birshis Moiraini Deruf Shalita. One of the songs we did over there by Siam.
Yeah.
Hindat Blat, and get the test. Anyway, so I sang in the choir, Yom Meruam, and Hanukkah. I was never solo. I don't remember being a solo. I was always just a part of the choir.
Hmm.
I don't know if I didn't want a solo, or I don't think I was even offered one. I sang on a few CDs, also choir. I did a few CDs where I sang myself. Mm-hmm. And when I got older, my grandfather said that my older sister got engaged, and he told me he wants me to sing at the wedding. I told him, "Nah, I'm not gonna sing." I was 17, and he says, "No, I want you to sing." I told him, "All right, you know, I'll sing, but if we're gonna do it, I need to go to voice lessons. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to get a microphone. I need to make business cards. I remember I needed to have a cordless microphone."
Oh wow.
Aman Hashem, the cordless microphone.
The cordless microphone. Wow.
A cordless one, like Michul Schnitzler had. You know Michul Schnitzler?
Sure. Him and our buddies. We all tap each other. He's a funny guy.
So there you go. Michul is a lot of fun. Michul is amazing. He's always busy with the God Almighty.
Yeah. Beautiful people.
Beautiful people. Yes. So, you know, he was, when I was growing up, he was the Zach, and I was the Chayde.
Yeah.
Who Schlisser was the singer, was the big singer.
Wow.
So he had a cordless mic.
Now that's how you know you're living. That's how you know you're living. Mamish, you got the cordless microphone, you're singing up there on stage. That's living. That's Geschmack.
Yeah. So my grandfather, he was like a tough guy. Actually very tough, you know. He stood up for his things, and I think he was very opinionated, and he said, your audience speaks Yiddish or Hebrew? Where is this going to air? Who's going to listen? Who listens? Who is your following?
So our listeners,
in Israel?
No, our listeners are all over. I'm together with Shirley Meyer, the head of Shirley Meyer. We're producing this on Zay Radio and our site Go Simcha. So we have listeners all over. We have people in Israel and America. You can speak Yiddish. You can speak Hebrew. You can speak Chinese if you want. I mean, well, you know, it's all.
Yiddish would be my easiest, but obviously I spoke English till now.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of, you know, I grew up speaking. I'm a Hasidic boy, Hasidic guy. When I yoli, and for me, it's definitely easier to express myself in Yiddish.
I mean, I'll be honest. For the majority of our audience, listen, I understand Yiddish. I speak Yiddish, but we definitely prefer to speak in English here, just because the majority of our audience.
Right.
We're sharing this. We're trying to
reach
the broader.
Right, the big 100%. But I'm gonna throw in even those people who speak only English. They're going to appreciate it.
Of course.
So let it flow.
Of course. Of course. Listen, we're trying to understand who you are, Shmili. We're trying to get into the kishkas, as they say, of Shmili Younger. We're trying. You were saying about the cordless microphone. Your Zadie was a stalker. He told you that you know, it doesn't mean the voice lessons. You don't need the voice lesson. Just get out there and do it. Don't need none of this. We're going to make it happen. So what happened?
Yeah, you went
and you sang at the Chasana, and?
No, I started going to voice lessons. I had a voice lesson teacher. His name was Leichter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Moshe Dovid Leichter, his name was. And I was in the yeshiva in Monsey and Fershe. He's my Rebbe, Chaim Leib Rottenberg. He was the Rosh Yeshiva from Fershe.
Okay.
And so I was there in the yeshiva, and I used to take voice lessons once a week. My grandfather would give me $100, and I would pay for the voice lesson. I would go out, and I got myself supper somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the bus, whatever. I had my route. I took. I made it all work, because the lesson was, I think, $70 for an hour. So with the extra $30, I went to Monsey Barbecue. I bought myself chicken wings or whatever. Yes, and then I had a few extra bucks maybe for the, I took the bus. There was a big bus going around the Monsey.
Monsey Tours.
Anyway, so my grand, the Monsey Tour, well, I live in Monsey. I still see it. I don't know what it's called.
That's funny.
Anyway, so yeah, so I started taking voice lessons. Then my sister's wedding came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my grandfather, I'm not ready to do the wedding, but I can audition. Like, if I can try. I'm going to bring my mic. He already brought me my, got me my microphone. He bought the mic and everything I needed. Right. And I set it up by that wedding. I remember Bedi Weber was the official singer, but he was Schmilbert Weber. It was in the beginning of his years. This was, like, I think in 2008, in June.
Oh, wow.
So Bedi was still a newbie. And I remember I asked him, can I plug myself in? Like, what? Yeah, plug yourself in. The musician was Idolis. Yossi Idolis. Heard of Yossi Idolis?
Vaguely.
Anyways, a musician, and he played this. So by the meal, I did two songs, I remember. I remember I did the Shiva Shiftaini from Shlomo Giz. There, Pinky Baby.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that song?
Yeah.
You had Gertner on the other day, you said.
Yeah, I had Shlomo was on the show. Shlomo was on the show last week. He was a boatload of laughs too.
So, I did this song, and I remember I did Omar Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Fin Eman Fin Avremu.
Wow.
Omar Omar Hakadosh. These two songs, I remember. I messed up the Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't nail it. I got confused. Lo Yavoy, Atche Yavoy, whatever. I got to listen to the recording again. I remember listening to it years later. It was such a rookie mistake, but I made a mistake.
It's okay.
And it was nice, whatever. Yeah, I own it. It's all right. And then the Husakala came in, and Bedi Weber took over the music, the mic. And then towards the end, I did a song. I did, oh man, something about Yerushalayim. I can't remember the song. Maybe I'm gonna remember later.
No worries. Wow.
And I did that song. So in Lamasa, a friend of mine, a Vishnu Tzabuchar in the yeshiva, he said that he's getting married and he didn't take a singer. The other thing that they did, the Vishnu said people don't take singers. They think it's like an extra expense. They don't need it. Yeah. Music is fine. But I offered, I told him, you know what, I'm going to come. You want mind if I come sing, you know, express my feelings? He said, sure, go ahead. His name was Sruli Palak. Sruli Palak was a very nice bucher. And I was in Gaman. I hope he's doing okay. And I came. I didn't drive. So how am I going to get to the wedding? Right. I asked my grandfather. I caught. What? You were going to ask something?
No, it's just funny. He said you don't drive. Don't worry. I don't drive either. I'm not a fan of driving cars either. But yeah, so it's a very interesting story.
And it's true. And it's true. Not a lot of people. I know Shulam Vakshal has a car. Not a lot of people have cars there. It's a big expense. The gas is so expensive, and to buy a car,
it's
very expensive.
It's not worth it. It's not worth buying a car. Listen, I happen to live 5 minutes away from my office, 5 minutes away from my studio. I never leave Beit Shemesh very often. So Baruch Hashem, it's a big
So my grandfather. We caught a deal. My grandfather caught a deal with me. He said he's gonna get me the microphone. He's gonna get me business cards. He's gonna get me the voice lessons, and he's gonna drive me to jobs, and we're gonna decide on the price, and we're gonna cut it 50-50. That was the agreement I had with my. It's not a written agreement. I was close to my grandfather. I should mention to the listeners, my father passed away when I was 14. Yes, when I used him. Yeah, the people who know me in the community know as Shmuldova Dungar. My full name is Shmuldova Dungar. I was a youth of Makiris Yoel with my brother, Shulam Elia, Shulam.
Oy.
I listened to my grandfather a lot. I went away to a yeshiva.
Yeah.
After my father passed away, I went away to London. I had a few chaver who told me I should go away. It was a very good decision. Shemazev Meisle, Shereb Shemazev. He's an item by the Satmareva. You know Shemazev Meislis? Shemazev Meislis. His father is Rav Zalman Leib Meislis from Seagate, the Seagate Tiruf. Anyway, not a big deal. He he was Mara Shashiva in when I whatever but the third soon. And by the fifth soon they decided, you know, you should go away. So I went to learn in Hitchin in London. I went to learn by the Bitsigmosha State to the Hitchin. And I was there for 3 zmanim. Was I made a lot of memories and a lot of mamish in June.
Yeah.
But he's thinking of a hasana of a bucher, but he, you know, he was in the yeshiva together with us, and he had a chusin geworden.
Wow.
And the hasana, it was very, very, it was really beautiful, especially the kippah. It was very nice. It was very, very nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah, just some of the month, yes. Anyway, so that's only given for 3 zmanim.
Okay.
From the 15th and a half is the zibitzum. And then I came back by the 17th. The Monroe Yeshiva didn't want to accept me in the yeshiva. I guess I had a bad name because Hitchin had a bad name. It was a bad name, Hitchin. Like, they were smoking there, and they got some else. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Monroe, I wasn't good enough. Unfortunately, I didn't make the cut.
Oh.
Didn't fit in the system. That's it. I have no regrets. Allah has Baruch Hashem so beautifully ausgestellt. The Mashiach has helped me help my father. Me and ganz klalis rubemas. I have no regrets, no hard feelings on nobody. It was really beautiful. And then I was becoming like mixed messages.
You were saying how you listened to everything your grandfather. Your grandfather was like your mashpia, and you listened to everything he told you, and you were talking about.
Yes. Except for this decision, he didn't want me to go away.
Hmm.
But like I don't know if I told him I'm going or I just left. I just went, and then I came back by the 17th. I had to try to make up the relationship and go back and whatever. And we were good buddies afterwards because it turned out fine. But when so that's why when he told me Machanazi.
Yeah.
We make the decision, no problem. Anyway, so that's how it was. So the first wedding comes around. The Seruli Palak is getting married. Ater is Chana, Monsi.
Mm.
The music is Mendy Steckel. I wish the woman band, do a local woman band. And my guy Arbet, the Mendy Steckel was so nice to me, of course. Yes, I'm doing this for a while. When there's a new guy in town, you know, there's a lot of new guys all the time, you know, because a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people can be new for a long time.
Right.
And so there was a lot of new guys singing. Being now that I'm in, I've been doing this, when there's a new guy, it's like it's a headache. I mean, to work with them, you know, it's always better to just have the old guys hang around, but there's always new guys coming. So it was very nice of Mendy Steckel. It was very nice to me. Mm. Anyway, so I start singing, and my grandfather is sitting in the zat, and he's looking. Even one of my Magidashirim, Berkowitz. His name is Arvarnik Shil Berkowitz. He was maybe the Manal, whatever. He comes a day later and tells me, "Ich will do with the Weiss Geld erzogen. Die weiß wie ich am meisten nur gehabt echten." I'm like, ich weiß, der Kusen, der Kalle, der Ravia Kusen, der Mama, I don't know. Die verdammt sei, dass der meisten nur gehabt.
That's funny.
As my grandfather, er dort gesitzen, I'm just seeing Mendy, no, it's not Mendy Steckel, somebody looked like Mendy Steckel. Anyway, er gesitzen dort, nicht nur gehabt, I remember by the Seder,
yeah.
I was gesingen, it was a Hasidic crowd. It was a vision of the crowd. They weren't going to, as I've been geplant, cinema can sing it. They weren't going to hire anybody. So they're not used to singing. So if I would book such a job today, let's say one of the vision of the people wants to hire Shmuley Unger, I would come, by the meal, I would sing Chabatska songs. I would sing old Geschmacka stuff. I don't know, I would have a variety of the Carolina nice vision of the stuff. Vishivisi Yashan.
Sure.
That's beautiful playing in Neginim. Anyway,
who
isn't? Visionist is a lot of Neginim.
I happen to be a Visionitzer myself. Well, at least a Shutvis of Visionitz. My Rebbe is the Kasa Visionitzer Rebbe out here in Beit Shemesh. His late father in law was the Sarater in Haifa. And they have some very, very, Visionitzers have some very, very nice Neginim, very uplifting, very happy songs. And every
absolutely
time, Rosh Hashanah by Visionitz nothing greater.
Of course. In yeshiva we would sing the one of the one of the Menichah V'Simchus, the vision says a few Menichah V'Simchus, it will start. It goes, the candles don't hang.
Yeah, it's a very...
unbelievable. Me, go ahead.
Unbelievable song, unbelievable Nigunim. Visions of Nigunim are by far some of my favorite Nigunim. Not just because I'm close with them, but just because they're so uplifting, so like they touch your heart. You ever been by Shabbos by Visions? It just warms your heart.
I have not yet, but definitely Zayir Vadim and Nigunim. Yeah. So anyway, so I get there to the wedding, and Ichab was thinking, and I start Loyolecho Hamlocho Ligmoir, you know, the latest MBD, you know, and Mendy Shtekel, you know, he didn't stop me because it was okay because the crowd didn't mind it, but then a Magachir came over to me, his name was Fogel, forget his first name, and he said, it says Fuduva a Chaylik. He told it to me in a nice, positive, constructive criticism way. He says, you should know what to sing.
Listen, it was your first show, man. It was like your first, it was like your first real show.
It was terrible. It was terrible. I remember I ran after Mendy Shtekel for such a long time. He should give me the recording of the job. And it got to me. He gave it to me, and I put it on. I put on headphones. I remember I was sitting on my bed in Damatari in Yeshiva, and I was so disappointed. I was like, what's the matter? I know this is not how it's supposed to sound, and it's not good. And the problem was I was very pitchy. Pitchy means it's not off-tune, mamish, but it's not hitting the right note. It's like not saying, let me try if we can break it down. A slow song. Tfila L'Moishe, you know a song from Baruch Shulam Bosovsky. Goes, Tfila L'Moishe Ishu Elohim, Hashem Elohinato Yisolamnu. Such a song, yeah. Off-tune would be, what's the song? I forgot the song. I just, Tfila L'Moishe. Off-tune would be, Tfila L'Moishe Ishu Elohim, Hashem Elohinato
Yisolamnu. Yeah, that's very off-tune.
This is bad. That's bad. It wasn't like that. It was pitchy. The problem was also because the music is so loud,
right?
And I couldn't hear myself. So I would sing, Tfila L'Moishe Ishu Elohim, Hashem Elohinato Yisoloni. That note, for instance, whatever. So for Gefele, the ganze chasana beim Tanzen was... It was good parts here and there. Was good. It was alles ausgemischt, but the overall picture was terrible. I forgot to tell you. After the wedding, the mechitin comes over. I don't remember which mechitin. Either Palak or the other side gives me $200. He says you did a fantastic job. Yes, for real. Because by the wedding it was amazing. By the wedding, nobody, even I, didn't realize. Yeah. That it's pitchy, because pitchy gets it, the music is loud, people are dancing, and it goes.
Right.
The recording was horrible.
Right.
So by the wedding, there was great energy, and I remember the Chaim Leibish was there, the Rosh Hashiva came, and he likes the song, I think it's also a Vishnitz song,
right? That's also a Vishnitz song.
Boom!
You're hitting them. You're hitting them. Man, you are just hitting them tonight. This is great. Listen, you know, it's your first show. What are you gonna do? You learn from your mistakes. At least you got $200 out of it. You know, it's $200.
No, I didn't finish, and then the other mechitin came over and gave me another $50.
Woo! Look at that, $50. Yes.
I made $250. Yes, everybody was so happy. I unplugged my microphone. And I remember Victor and Akedah, but Unga came to the chasana, I was late. I took a shower, and my grandfather was waiting for me outside, and he was laughing, and I got into the car, There was no GPS or stuff. I oh my gosh. I vaguely knew. What's meant vaguely? Vaguely means almost sure, almost not sure.
You're
vaguely. I knew basically where Atheris Chadna was.
Right.
But I wasn't 100% sure how to get there. But anyway, I was like 95% sure. Anyway, my grandfather's outside. He's honking, and I get in the car, and he says, the first thing Shmuel does to business, Zman, he does Dortenzan, you know. I wasn't singing at the chuppah. I was just for the meal and dancing. So the chuppah finishes at, let's say, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I should be there by 8:30, 8:45, starting doing the meal, singing a few songs.
Right.
And let's say it was already, I was living in Monroe. I had to go to Monte Tateris Chana. So the way, is, I don't know, I was running maybe like 10, 15 minutes late. And he had to go to Sapsak. I was in Sapsak, not Apsak. He told me, as the Eishazak, you have to be on time. And he's right, you got to be on time. Especially if you take a chuppah. I've been doing this for a long time, relatively.
How many years have you been doing this? I mean, since this started, you said this is about 2008. So you've been doing this now for, you know, almost 9 years already. Nearly close to...
Yeah, but when if somebody were to ask me when I started, I wouldn't say I started by Polak Shasana. That's not when I started. I think I started... I gave it a specific date. I don't know, like in 2014,
right?
I started, like, I got the Menichas HaNefesh Chasanas at least. This Polak Chasana, from this wedding,
yeah.
I didn't have any Chasanas for another year.
So what did you do in that year, once you did this wedding, like, what did you do after that? Is this when you realized you wanted to, like, get into music, like, professionally proper, or you were still trying to figure out what you wanted to do? No,
not at all. It was fun for me. On the way home from the Chasana,
yeah,
I packed up my stuff. I told my Zaidi, I told him, I have 250 bucks. This is 125 for you and 125 for me. And he said, no, I trust you. You put it away. You make an envelope for me. You know what's mine and what's yours. What is mine, you hold like the ravek, and also put away your money. Lamasa, when I got married,
yeah,
he took care of everything. He paid for everything.
Wow.
And then he told me whatever from his half, I should. Like he wants to pay with that money. It wasn't a lie. It was maybe $5,000 his cut.
Wow. That's still pretty good. That's still
very good. It was very, it's very nice.
That's still pretty good money for some. This is when you were first starting out. That's pretty impressive, I have to say. So it seems like you've come a long way since doing your sister's class and then doing that one Vizhnitzer wedding, and now it seems like you have a couple albums out. It's funny, like your album. At first I was kind of confused, and I was doing some more research into you. Shmili 2 is your first album, then you came out with Shmili, which everyone knows. So what's the deal behind
Shmili? With Macha Brocha.
Right, Macha Brocha. Great song, by the way. And that's another song I got stuck in my head. Every time I'm about to eat something, I just start singing your song. But what's the deal with Shmili 2? Why'd you start with Shmili 2 and not just Shmili? Or Shmili 1? Well, not Shmili 1, but what's...
I don't know.
It's good marketing, I have to say, Shmili 2, because it makes people think, like, hey, there had to be a Shmili 1.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. People will assume that there must be a Shmili 1 because we're used to Simcha Liner 2, Shloime Toisek 2.
Right.
We're used to those numbers because those numbers were their second album. So we were going to be the first album named number 2, not because it's the second of something.
Right.
It's just like the Gemurah, they start with Daf Bais, you know that?
Yep.
There's no Daf Aleph.
Nope.
I couldn't name it Shmili 1. The Shefer is Eins, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shmili 2, it was like a little gimmick. It's a gimmick, Kilo.
Yeah.
Gimmick. And it's That's caught on. I'm still busy explaining this to people, or like everybody still wants to know. People have not moved on.
Listen, it's smart marketing.
But it was very
smart. You're
a maybe. A friend of mine gave me the idea. His name is CME, Chamayr Erps.
Okay.
We were schmeezing one time. He was the manager of Atheris Golda. And he was like, you know, he's working on an album. I don't know. He still didn't come out. He's still working on it. And he told me, you know, he has an interesting name for his album. I'm like, yeah, what is it? He's very creative.
Right.
He says, CME2. and we were both like laughing. And I liked it. I told him, you know, I think it's cool. He said, nah, I'm never going to give it. I know it's cool. It's an idea. And then it was Shabbos.
Yeah.
It was Shabbos and we spoke. Most of Shabbos, I messaged my producer. And yeah. I'm like, you know, how about this idea, CME2, whatever. I was thinking to CME. CME2, I like it. People are gonna ask, but who cares? It's a name, two. It's not, you know. It's a name two. It's nice sounding two.
That's funny. It's very funny.
Two Shema.
There you go. So on CME2, there was another album before. There was a single before that, wasn't there? Or CME2 was the first album you came out with, and then came Machal Brucha. But what on CME2, what was your favorite part about creating that album? I mean, besides from making the name, which is hilarious, what was your favorite part about creating that album? What really gave you that geschmack in making that album? Like knowing that was your first album coming out, like what did it for you over there?
I don't know, what drove me to make an album?
Well, not that, but I'm saying like what was your favorite part in making the album? And yeah, I guess what really drove you to say I'm gonna come out with an album now.
I found my producer Naftali Schnitzler, mm-hmm. Salomosha Schnitzler,
mm-hmm.
and together we signed. We had an agreement of some kind. We were good friends. I should start from like the beginning. Like I told you, I lost my father.
Right.
And then I came home from Hitchin when I was 17 years old, when the Satmir Yeshiva said they don't want to accept me. So I went to learn to Fashe by the 17. Now, when I learned in Fashe on Monsi, I would stay in the Yeshiva sometimes for Shabbosim. And sometimes mm-hmm. I would come home for Shabbosim, like once Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, mm-hmm. Shabbos Mevarchim, or Stam Shabbos, I would tell the Yeshiva I want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home. And So one of those Shabbosim, when I went home, we had a shul in the neighborhood called Shulam Al Yisroel. My father used to daven there.
Okay.
And I still daven there after he passed away. There was a guy named David Kaufman. David Kaufman is a very, very lovely guy. I don't know what happened, but he was very inviting and very, I don't know, he was very nice and always fun. Always giving me good energy and always like pushing me and listening to me sing. Mm-hmm. I would tell him like funny stories and he was very good to me. And he was good buddies with Naftali Schnitzler. Back in the day, Naftali Schnitzler would work in a hall. So guy still named Pardes Feige, a house in Azal in Willensburg.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Takunas.
Yeah.
Naftali Moshe Schnitzler was the only guy playing there the music, and they had a few singers. Three singers, you guess the Hosevail. Rottenstein and Chaim Blumenfeld, maybe, Sosker Gutman was like a selective few. Those are the singers for Pardes Feige.
That's a thing now. I heard that that's like a thing. That they have like Takunas in the halls that, you know, you have to do this certain, you have to do according to their, what they want to do. Like you can't bring outside singers. How does that work with you? If certain halls like have their people that they want to do, like how does that work for you if someone wants to hire you?
You got to understand that the places I usually, the venues I usually work are not those kind of wedding halls, except I can remember now. Baruch Hashem, also it's my producer's vision. Because he pushed me to go up with the price,
right.
Therefore making me not so available to everybody and like whatever, having the vision. Like if not for him I would still like maybe be in Takunas and struggling and like be in competition to all. Mm-hmm. You know, the people being in that market, in that clientele, right. Market. It's also a market. When I was there, I made my $500 for a wedding. I was so happy.
Right.
I couldn't believe I'm coming home and I had $500 in my pocket. It was like it was everything to me. And you know, Baruch Hashem is gewachsen. But even then, I worked for my uncle. I have an uncle in Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a restaurant, and I was there. And mm-hmm. I would make a week. He would pay me at the end of the week. It was an envelope with my hours. I made mm-hmm. maybe $300-$400 It was cash. It was some change lying around. And then I would go to the do a wedding maybe once a week or twice a week, you know, if, maybe it was more once a week, and I was so happy with, you know, $500.
You have such an interesting journey, man. You like it seemed like you've come from such an interesting journey from like starting off these little tiny like doing like one like a little chasana, and now like all sort going from all sorts of places. It's a very interesting journey you've gone through. But I mean,
You think so?
I know so. It's fascinating.
It's so much more. There's so much more. I'm not saying more, way more like personal family stuff. But yeah. Sometimes I think maybe they can make a movie from my story, but then I think that everybody thinks that their life story is interesting and they're right.
Well, I mean,
everybody has a story. Everybody. For sure.
Well, listen, you were in a movie. I mean, one of your songs, it happens to be one of my favorite songs of yours, Yitain Lecha. That music video is absolutely phenomenal, and that song is absolutely phenomenal. And that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, your style of music, it's so interesting. It varies. Like, with that song, it's very nice and upbeat, and it has a bit of a country feel to it. I mean, with the violins and the way the music
right. is
scored. And some of your other stuff is very classic, very very classic Hasidic nigunim, and some of your other stuff is very upbeat and poppy. It's very cool.
Right.
So how did you come to those styles? How did you come to like figure out what your style was and create the songs that you did? Because again, that song especially is one of my favorite songs of yours. And
yeah. You mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sing it every day.
Okay, so you mentioned there are a lot of things. I'm going to try to break it down. First of all, you mentioned the middle of saying like, how did you figure out blah, blah, blah. I haven't figured out nothing. I'm living life just like the next guy. I'm figuring out my next move and trying, you know, to whatever, to survive and do my thing. But what I did realize this past Sikkis,
yeah,
and no, past Pesach, actually, we had the first concert in New York. I've done concerts in Eretz Yisrael. I've done maybe 3 or 4 big shows in Eretz Yisrael with MBD and with Chaim Yisrael. Yeah, and, but I had also a lot of private things, a little like with the Madrusham Simchas Basa Shaivas. But in New York, I've only done wedding venues. I haven't done any concerts. I've never paid any concert. This Pesach,
yeah.
we did with Moshe Kroth Production, MK Production, Yiddish Nachas Production with Yossi Green and Avtali Schnitzler with all the producers. We sat together when we created the first Hasidish, real Hasidish speaking, Hasidish show.
Wow. That's great.
And yeah, it was amazing. We had so much Yata Dishmaya. It was so much better than expected. And what I tell you is I realized then
yeah.
that, you know, that people always tell me that you connected to the people. Yossi Green was sitting there. Yossi Green. You know, Yossi Green.
He's great.
I know him. I know him. Who doesn't know Yossi Green?
He was fun
he
to
was
talk to.
He was sitting there. Yeah, I have so much respect for him. We're going to have a Mitzvah Shema song on the next album. We're going to sit with Yossi Green. Till now, it didn't happen. But we want to both sit together. Anyway, he was telling me afterwards that he's gone to so many concerts in New York, to the Hask shows, and to all kinds of other kinds of shows. He said that such a show, he has never been to. There was a lot of lighting. I had a lot of help. I mean, but basically, he said, I connected to the people. And then he said that I connect with people. But music is just a tool that I'm using to make the connection. If you're gonna, you ever been to one of the concerts in Eretz Yisrael?
I've been to a few of them. I haven't been to any of the major ones. But next time you're here, if you're coming here for a concert, you know we can always meet up and I can come down to your show. It'd be great.
Okay. You stay in touch with me. You buzz me up. I'll have your number.
You have my number. You send me tickets. I'm there. I'm totally there.
We'll
do a follow-up interview. So it's true. You do connect with the people in the audience, and if you
so that takes me back to say Yitain Lecha, and then you said I have poppy music. So
Yitain
Lecha was a song. I grew up. I'm not so proud of this, but my mother liked to listen at home. She had her stuff that she liked to listen to. She wasn't too whatever. She grew up in Australia.
Right.
They had they had a television at home, and they had a dog. She went to the Chabad school. She only spoke English. Yeah, this is also important for the listeners to get from where I'm coming from. I grew up, it was a Hasidic place in Haider. Yeah. All the Sakhbar Hasidic family boys.
Yeah.
And they were relatively all the same. And I wasn't the same. I always felt different. For instance, like all the boys would go to Spielmann's dry goods, and that's where they get their shirts and their Socken, and they get their whatever, their clothing. And my parents would take me to Walmart. My father didn't have money. It was for real. And we would go to Walmart, we'd buy a few pairs of big pants, and we would cuff it up, whatever, make it my size, and we had pants. And so I don't know, I was always, like, in my house, my mother would pronounce the word mayonnaise, you know, mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Wow. And in Haider, they would pronounce it mayonnaise. Bring me the mayonnaise, how's the mayonnaise? And I was like, what's wrong with us? Why are we pronouncing it mayonnaise?
That's funny.
Anyway, it was very funny. It was, you know, when you're a child, you're growing up, they have their own lives. You know, you see things differently. You know, people would ask me until 5 years ago, you knew your father? And I would answer, yes, I knew him, you know, as a 14-year-old boy could know his father. But now I'm more and more realizing that now I'm an adult. I see things way differently. And now is the most important time that I would get to know my father and really know him. Now I just have testimonies from people, you know, your father this, your father that. And I only have my memories. But now is the time that you need your father most.
Wow.
I guess it's all the time. Anyway, I'm not complaining, Kazushu. I'm just saying for the Yisrael out there, you know, just keep on doing what you're doing. You know, you keep on sticking it to him. That's all. You know?
No, for sure. So my question is, when it comes to some of your songs, like, again, I became a big fan of Yitein Lecha. I love the music. I love the song. I love how it was composed. And it's funny, I was watching the music video. My friend is actually in your music video, Moishe Storch. He's actually about to come on our show.
He's also
We used to be chavrusas. When I first got married about 7 years ago, him and I were in a kollel together. And then he left America to become a famous musician. And I left the kollel because I went to work. But Tachlis, Storchy and I are good friends. He was supposed to be on the show last week, but he had to reschedule. So when I saw him in your video, I sent him.
Very nice. I'm filling in for Stork, guys.
You're filling in for Stork, you know.
All right. No. I was plan B. All right. It's okay.
No,
Stork is a good guy. He wasn't. It's okay. He was in the video.
Yeah.
And it was a very geschmacky guy. Yeah, I got to know him. So you were Chavris of his.
We were Chavrises for a brief moment. And so that's why I saw that video and I liked, and the song, the sound, like even that the violin, like once you add like a country twang to that, it just really, it really hit me. It really struck. And like, I keep singing it like every day. I can't get it out of my head. So when you were coming up with that song, when you were composing that song, what were you thinking? What were you trying to create with that? Because it's just such a beautiful song.
As much as I would like to take the credit, I'm not a composer. I don't write songs. I sing it. This song was sent to me through, it was then a booker. I remember then he didn't like to use his name because he was scared he's gonna shot him for a shidduch.
Mm-hmm.
But name is Honig. Honig is a producer now. I think he's producing some albums, and he's Isaac Honig's son. You know Isaac Honig? Of course you know Isaac Honig. But I'm going to sing a song. You don't know the song?
I do. No, oh, no, I do. Wow. That's that.
Other Keser
Keser. Yes. Keser
Yitnerecho. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so this is as iconic. Where did you grow up? We can see you originally.
Me, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm from out of town.
Ah, your visions are from Detroit, Michigan. So you also have an interesting story.
I'm from out of town. That's why I'm so nice and pleasant and laid back.
Funny, okay.
But no, I'm from out of town. But no, you didn't write the song. But still, I mean, like it's such a beautiful song.
Yeah, I knew it. Listen, you started also asking me for what drove me to make the first album. Things were getting emotional. So I found my producer, Naftali Schnitzler.
Mm-hmm.
And through Dubitkov, we're going back to Atatürk to buy Feige. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm the city guy. And wow, for those who kept on listening till now, mm-hmm. and they were getting frustrated, how come Erev HaKrach, now we're going back? So I told Dovid Kaufman, you know, you're good friends with Naftali Moshe Schnitzler. Maybe you tell him, as he has getroffen a bucher, Shmuel Vadunga, and he should like, I'm sure he has some pull because he's the only musician, unlike singers, musician, there was only one. There was one guy playing there every night. Mm-hmm. So I told Dovid Kaufman, maybe you tell Schnitzler to get me in. It'll be a big favor for me. So he says, okay, he's going to talk to him. Anyway, he got back to me like long later. You can imagine because I wasn't home every Shabbos. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have anything. I was booking a yeshiva. Mm-hmm. So I got home and I saw him like a month later. I went to Shiel and he says, yeah, he spoke to Schnitzler. Schnitzler says like, Schnitzler says, as you know, they don't want to take him Bucharim because, you know, because the hall, the wedding hall belongs to the Moisdas, and they want to keep it only for Ingelat and blah, blah, blah. And all right, so that went down. It was no good, whatever. So didn't work out. I was doing Vater music. One day, Dovid Kaufman calls me up. He tells me, I'm here. I said, I'm in Florida. They went to Florida, a few friends, and they flight got canceled, blah, 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 whatever. They need somebody to come pick him up from the airport in New York to take him back. And I was a bucher in yeshiva. And I told him, sure, I'll pick you up. But I remember I had a Camry. A red Camry. I love that car. My first car was a good car. I was so happy with that. The red Camry. Anyway, so I told him, yeah, I picked it off in airport again. But he had him. He said, Naftali Moshe was there. Naftali Moshe Schnitzler. And that was, I'm going to go pick them up from airport. I was excited about it. And then his brother, and then a few other, whatever. There was like five guys with Rensselaer. So Duba says, no, don't worry. You know, on Meron, there's a... So he says, you go down on Meron. You're going to, he has a minivan, a Honda Odyssey. Hello, in Gamafa Mondra, of course, I had a Honda Odyssey. And you're just tomorrow morning, you go down, you pick up the car, and you bring that car. Sure, no problem. I ask him, no problem, easy pass, and you have the GPS in the car. Just come, we're going to be by LaGuardia or by JFK. I don't remember. Anyway, sure, beautiful. I remember I was excited. We're going to go pick him up from the airport tomorrow. I get up in the morning, all is fine. Take a shower. And I go pick them up. I go pick them up from the airport, and I start going to Meron. I start looking for the Odyssey, and I start thinking, is it a blue Odyssey? Is it a black one? Oh my gosh, why didn't I ask him? Why didn't I ask for which number Meron is going to be parked? He said there's going to be a key in the ignition. So I figured I'm going to find. Anyway, I go down Meron. I don't find no car. And the end of Meron, mamish, by the end, there's an Odyssey parked on the side, a black one. I open it up, I park behind, I see it's open, there's a key, beautiful, I start running. I don't know the way to the airport, but I know the way to get out of Monroe and head towards the city. So I go, I finish the toll booth, I'm on the freeway already, and I start, you know, looking for the GPS, and he says it's under the seat, and I start looking for it, and there was no GPS to be found. I got upset with him, I was like, you know, you should have double-checked before you send me out, because I have no idea how to go, how to get to... Okay. I didn't get to the city. Anyway, I had a flip phone. I called my sister, and she was like in the office, and I told her, I'm over here, or around over here. I need to go to this airport. Where do you think I need to go? So she guided me. She printed out some paperwork, and she told me where to go, and I found a way. Anyway, I put down the phone, and then all of a sudden, he calls me in. Dovid Kaufman calls me in, like, wie bist du? Zuck bei euch, was ist der Gunnisch geworden? And Zuck ich ihm, was ist der Gunnisch geworden? I'm here. And you said you have a GPS. I lost the way, whatever. I'm barely making it. And right. He laughs from me. I said, yeah, you're still in home. You're still in bed. So you came, he's finished in bed. I'm here. I don't know what you're talking about. I just hung up the phone with my brother. He was supposed to leave you the car, but he forgot to leave it. So I don't know what you're talking about. I went down Meron. I found the Odyssey with the keys inside, and I start driving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't even his. It's crazy, right? So, and then he starts saying, look around in the car. Do you see something? I found a hit. A Stoffen hit. It's a hit that not Dovid Kaufman doesn't wear that hat. He wears a Flache Biberet. So right. I look inside and there's a name. And whatever, I get to the airport and they all are laughing. That's crazy because, you know, basically I took a car. I found a car and I just took it. It was very funny. So, and that's when I got to know Naftali Shenson. Lamasa, what happened to the story?
Yes.
He called up the number.
Yeah.
And I told him, I get in the Chais Shmudel Bedongar. And this is the story. You can see outside your window or whatever. There's a red Camry over there. But he says, oh, it's getting in my car. And I'm like, yeah, we took it. And he's like, okay, so when are you going to be back? I told him, I hope I got to go to Williamsburg to drop off Naftali Moshe, lives in Williamsburg. I have to drop him off and a few other guys. And then we're heading back to Monroe. And he says, okay, so call me when you're here. And he says, can I please drive the Camry? I says, no, I have the keys in my pocket. It's locked. Anyway, so that was the story. It was a crazy story.
So how did this all lead to your creation of the album of Shmuley 2?
On the way, yes. So on the way, by dropping off Naftali, we got to know each other and we spoke. And then and I took his number and he was doing that part of the Spiker. So he was up at night. So he was always bored. So I was a booker. I was also bored. So we would message at night. And then he was a big producer. I wanted to be his friend. He was a big producer. Then he had already done Betty Weber, he'd already done Yoli Greenfeld, he'd already done Lipa Schmelzer.
He does Lipa also, huh?
He did. Lipa went his own way, but for a while, he did Lipa.
Fascinating. So this meeting ended up making you guys connect, and ultimately how he became your producer. That's pretty cool. It's a funny story how it all happened. So from there you created Shmuley 2, and you had some hits off of that, and then what made you want to go ahead and create the next album, Macha Broche? And what was
because it? We were very successful with the first one. We had a song that goes MSVM and it goes
That's a good one.
So that was very good. It was huge. Also, we were just sitting in the studio at night, me and Naftali and a friend of ours, Angel Shimi Angeloso, singer. And Naftali just created this piece. At first it went, MSVM and Nicole Zoys.
And then?
MSVM and Nicole Zoys, whatever. And yeah. So then we added, MSVM and Nicole Zoys. MS. We added the MS, the answer. And it became the song. And Naftali said, we're going to do another one. And then we found this amazing producer. His name is Hershey Weinberger, a new guy. Appreciating a man. Does amazing, amazing composer. Very musically, very talented. Very talented young man. And Naftali picked him up. I don't know from where. Just, you know, picked him up. And he did Macha Broche. You listened to the whole album or just the Macha Broche?
I listened to most of the tracks, but I kind of stay with Macha Broche because it's just one of those songs you just like keep dancing to and you just keep getting with it. It's just...
It's very nice, but there's a song, there's the guy, it's Kyle Mistatayin B'shafrir Chevyoin. It's right. A very nice song that also has Shivamiga composed, and there's a song Dayeno. Ilu, 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 no salonu, esatoiru. Also has Shivamiga. There's a Shield song. Heshi composed me 5 songs for this album.
Wow. Do you play any instruments, or you just sing? Do you play piano? Do you play any instruments?
I don't know. I want to be able to play a lot of instruments.
It's fun. I actually play 5 instruments, and I really enjoy it. It's fun. I play piano, drums,
guitar. Yeah, what are you?
I'll tell you.
Actually. Nice. Good for you.
Sure.
You're good at everyone, or you can everyone 20%?
So I'm 90% good at the guitar, about 70% good at the piano, 100% good at the drums. I play the saxophone, trumpet, other wind instruments as well, and it's fun, you know?
Nice. So amazing.
So that's why I have a big passion for music.
Yeah, you actually do. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. So you have realized probably that in this day and age, the young generation, the millennials, we're not so much into Mona Rosenblum big orchestra stuff.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No. It's all different.
It's all digital. It's all different. So from you, I'm not so musical. I like to sing. I know how to sing. Mm-hmm. I can get a crowd, you know, a good energy and just yo, you know.
Right.
Labor Day, whatever, you do what you got to do.
So.
But musically, you're probably way more music. So let me ask you, like, Macha Broche is
Yeah.
Except that it's fun and it's uplifting. Is it like from a musical standpoint, is it like nice chord, nicely done?
Yeah, it's very nicely done. It's very nicely composed. But that's why I was telling you, that's why my favorite song that I've heard of yours was Yitin. Because it's the way it's written, the way it's composed, it and scored is just it's just phenomenal, and all the pieces connected to it are just phenomenal. But my question is with you, like, what do you think of all that? The whole new style of music, like everyone's into just techno and DJs and things like that.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you're into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, like,
I like it.
What do you say for those who are still creating music the original way? Like, what do you say? Like, there's still room in this world, in this day and age.
Absolutely.
For stuff like that, you know, but it's just funny. It's true. Like all the newer musicians are really switching over to that. And that's what I was talking to Gertner about last week, is that all the newer musicians are really switching over to this style of music. And it doesn't require much skill per se to press a button on a keyboard, but you do have to be musically talented. You have to know how to sing. You do have to know how to do it. That's what I find very fascinating, is that the older musicians, there was a lot more skill and a lot more work put into it. Then now it's just all tracks and loops and things like that, but it's still pretty cool. It's still really nice and produces a good sound. So what do you say, what's in the works for Shmuel Younger? What's coming up in the works for Shmuel Younger these days? We just did Macha Baruch.
Yeah, just to comment on your earlier set, on Shmuel 2, we used Moshe Laufer. Yeah, we probably heard of Moshe Laufer, a big music arranger.
Sure.
So he did 7 out of 10 tracks. He arranged the music, him together with Naftali, mm-hmm. but it's Moshe Laufer's arrangements, basically. Mm-hmm. And then by Shmili Macha Brucha, we decided, you know, why spend all... It's a lot of money. Versteis, they have to charge a lot of money. Mona, Moshe Laufer, even Ruvi Banet. And the Hevras are good. They're really good musicians. They know what they're doing, you know. Throw Lamb, get the Hevra, but they charge a lot and it's a waste because people... don't find it so interesting. Anyway, but so we switched up. What's in the making?
Yeah,
we're making now a video.
Ooh.
We're making a video now. Yes, for Macha Brucha, we're making a video.
Like a video, or like a text video? What kind of video are you making?
A music video.
Ooh, that sounds
fun. Like we did
with
Gitar Lecho. Like, I'm not going to be sitting on a tractor. I didn't fly down to L.A. We're doing it. You heard of Mayor K? Mayor K?
Oh, sure. Mayor's a good friend of mine.
So there you go. Mayor K is doing a video for me. There was an editing. I should get now the final draft next week, and hopefully to be out maybe Matzah Tisha B'Av or so.
That's great. Yeah, I just saw your little carpool karaoke thing with Mayor. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. You think it was funny? I don't know. I think it could have been done so much more. You know, it's the idea is from James Gordon. You know what I'm saying. The guy.
Yeah.
It should have been done more of the best, you know, you hear people clapping, you can add on like laughter, and you can make it sound, it wasn't done, maybe, I don't know, this is how the Yiddish karaoke looks like, but I don't think it's been justice.
Well, listen, that's why we do podcasts.
You know?
For
people
sure.
People loved it. I always keep on hearing about it. People loved it, yes.
So you're saying that the Macha Baruch music video is coming out, and what are we going to expect from there? We're going to expect some funny stories, some funny stuff going on from you and Mayor. Mayor's in the video also, or it's just you. What are we going to expect out of the Macha Baruch video?
Mayor is also going to be in the video.
Oh my!
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to be there. I don't know. It's very nice. It's going to be effects, digital effects. It's going to be very cool.
Oh, fun. Will there be lots of pressing?
Lots of special effects? No, I don't know. Lots? It's going to be a big part of the video, special effects.
No,
it's going to be like basically...
No, I was asking, is there going to be lots of fress? Because you're Macha Bruche.
Fress, you mean food?
Fress. Yeah. There's going to be lots
fresh,
of...
Fress
in the Essen.
Oh, no, you see, no. You also, but when you say Macha Bruche, it's on food. What Macha Bruche is Shelo Yisani Goy, Shelo Yisani Ishu, Shelo Yisani Ketzoynoi, Begay, Chivrim, you know what I'm saying? Burim in Ebetumim, and then you have a Toba Amaitiv. Burim Dainu Emes, there's so much Bruches that's not considered food. Macha Bruches is a big message, it's like a blessing.
Right.
Bruches.
So yeah, so explain to our listeners what the message was behind Macha Bracha, because again, it's your new, it's a song everyone knows, and you're making the video. So what's the message behind Macha Bracha? So people get the real message.
The message behind Macha Bracha, maybe a lot of, I had an interview in the Mishpacha. I was so proud of that when you know, I got this, also Sruli Meir. Mm-hmm. He asked me, would you do an interview with the Mishpacha? I told him, absolutely, I would do an interview with them.
Okay.
And I found Yisroel Besser. He's the big writer. He's the big guy. Mm-hmm. And we met a couple of times, and we spoke, and we had an interview, and I was in the Mishpacha. So a lot of people still come up to me and they tell me, I read your article in the Mishpacha. I read your article. So a lot of people have read about me, but they never heard, you know, me speaking or how it sounds. So maybe a lot of those readers are going to be listening to this and they're going to say, oh yeah, I don't know. I remember you wrote about it. That's what he told the Mishpacha. Anyway, right. So what was I saying? I forget
our listeners want to know what the message behind Macha Bracha was. What were you doing with that? What were you trying to convey with Macha Bracha?
Macha Bracha is every day you should remember and try to be thankful and try to see the blessing and be blessed and say blessing all the time. Every day there's a shecheyonu, a shekichonu, or the whatever you gotta do, you gotta make a bracha. Macha Bracha. Wow. Always be positive. That's basically the message. Look around at the blessings. Be blessed. You're blessed. We're so blessed.
That's good chizik. That is good chizik. Macha Bracha.
So basically, the video is gonna be basically a guy waking up in the morning, and then he says Baruch Atah Hashem, and there's an angel created of that with a special effect, and then the angels go around, and the song goes. And they build, they have bricks and they have hammers and they're building there in the heaven and the skies. And they're building the Bais HaMikdash throughout the song. And then when the songs end, we all look and we have a nice, from all those bricks, the Bais HaMikdash was built. And it's all beautifully done. We're all looking at the Bais HaMikdash.
Wow.
From all those bruchas you make, we create angels and we create the Bais HaMikdash. It's a very nice video. Mayor K.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow, Shmuley, it was seriously an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. I learned so much about you, and you're a funny guy. You are a funny, funny guy. And it was seriously an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. We finally got to do this, and you really enlightened me to a lot of things. And you know, you had a very interesting story of how you started off just singing at your sister's chasana with your cool hush of a cordless microphone, and you moved the cordless microphone, man. That's what started it all.
Yeah.
And you moved
then
up.
Then we switched it over. Now I have a wire. Anyway.
Now you have a wire.
It was my pleasure. Now I have a wire with the mic. I don't have. It was like a phase I went through for the first half year. Then I had to have the monitor, the in-ear monitor. You can see now the singers have in the ear. That's an expensive. That's like $2,000, the whole thing. The headphones itself is $1,000.
Yeah, for sure. But listen, you know.
So it's expensive. So he got me that. And it's not the deal with my grandfather doesn't exist. Once I got married and I got a driver's license, I paid for my own voice lessons. And I printed, you know, my first business card had my grandfather's number. It was my number and my grandfather.
Wow!
He's gonna take booking.
Well, there you go. You moved up in the world. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
He moved on, yeah. But Baruch Hashem for them. Baruch Hashem. It was my pleasure being here and sharing, and I'll be on if you need me again. I mean, you wanted to do the visual. You wanted to be like Skype. What happened with Skype?
There's just a few technical issues. My camera was not working so well today, but you know, we can always do, you know, when you come out with that new music video, we can get you back on the show. We can talk to you again about the video. When you come out with some more albums,
Shlomi Gertner was also just on the audio. I had video.
We just did audio with Shlomi, but,
so the people, the listeners are not like looking forward to a video. They know the audio is coming.
Yeah. No, this is the whole point of a podcast, but again, Shmuley, it was an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. And I learned a lot.
You got it.
And I wish you all the best. You should be Matzliach. You should have only good things come from your music, and keep inspiring us, man. Just keep inspiring us, and we look forward to hearing good things from Shmuel Younger. And you know, Shmuley's new album is out now. Everybody, Macha Bracha. You can go get it wherever music is sold. You can go to his website and buy it, shmueljunger.com. You can go to Niggin Music, anywhere music is sold. You can buy it, download it, stream it.
The iTunes, Apple Music.
The iTunes. There you
not
go.
Not on Apple Music. Sorry. iTunes, yeah, and Google Music and Amazon Music. Anyway, gewaltig. Es tut mir Bruch und Abschluch und Siate des Schmeiers, Isha.
Sei gebend. Amen, amen. Kaltiv, my friend.
You've just listened to another wonderful episode of Go Simcha, the podcast. For more news, updates, and information on our next episode, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram at Go Simcha Live, and don't forget to check out the show notes and videos on www.gosimcha.com along with zerradio.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, Go Simcha!